always been your dream to build the pond of your dreams, but you don't know if property you own or are thinking about buying has a good location to build a pond on, you need to contact Honey Hole Fisheries right here in Tuscaloosa County, because Jeff Bagwell will help you decide if property you own or are thinking about buying has a good location to build a pond. You can contact Honey Hole Fisheries at 205-799-0192. Once again, that is 799-0192. And hey, Jeff Bagwell can also order top quality automatic fish and hunting feeders for all of your outdoor recreation. Contact Jeff Bagwell today, once again, at 205-799-0192 to help you build the pond or lake of your dreams. Is it Saturday yet? Nope, not quite, but one day closer, as this is the Thursday evening edition of the Stingray Show, and tonight we are going to be talking about the matchup that is up on Rocky Top this weekend between the Georgia Bulldogs and the Tennessee Volunteers. We will be joined by two beat writers from both of those schools right here on this edition of the Stingray Show to go inside the matchup of Tennessee versus Georgia.
Hi, this is Tim Brando with a reminder. Those of you on Tide 100.9, look out. You're about to feel the buzz of Stingray.
This is Stephen Ray, a.k.a. Stingray, coming to you live from Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
I'm Heath Hopkins. I'm here in DeSoto County, Mississippi, right outside of Memphis, Tennessee.
You know, Mark, I'm going to put you on the spot. Do you feel that responsibility to pay it forward and give some kid a chance coming up in the ranks, kind of like Tony did for you?
Why do you think I'm talking to Stingray tonight?
Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
Hey, Stingray, Here's the deal. When you get involved with Texas, it's like getting married to a stripper. And let me explain this. It looks good, kind of sexy on the surface. Yeah. But then you get the baggage, you get the drama, you get all that eventually comes with it. And that's what you get with Texas, and that's what the Big 12 learned.
And Heath, any thoughts on our show moving forward?
Hey, to everyone in Tuscaloosa listening here on Tide 100.9, with the Stingray Show, if you don't like it, you better learn to love it, because it's the best show going today, baby. Woo!
And with that, I want to welcome you inside the Thursday evening edition of the Stingray Show. And Heath, unfortunately, we are here on the tragic day that happened back in 2001. We are on the anniversary of September the 11th of 01.
Yeah, and if you're old enough to remember that date, you know exactly where you were.
Yes.
And everything that happened. And Stephen, we're not gonna get into politics and things. It's just been a sad week. Yeah. And everybody out there, look, if you don't like someone for what they look like or their skin color or what they believe or their views, that's on you. Go seek help. You're a nut job. Hey, just, we want to love people. We want to love college football. We want to love people, and love people that are different than you. Love people that think different. Steven and I hardly agree on anything if you listen to the show. But, you know, with that, some of my best friends don't vote the same way I do. They don't go to the same church as I do. And you know what? We're still great friends.
Yes.
So with that, we're not talking about anything else but football for the here rest of the show. But Steven, I'm not going to lie, I'm always an upbeat kind of guy. It's been a down week. It really has.
Heath, speaking of what happened back in 2001 with the World Trade Center and, of course, the Pentagon, briefly, I think we should start the Stingray Show with a moment of silence for everyone that was lost on that tragic day back in 2001.
Amen.
All right. Now, Heath, getting to college football, we started this last night, college football history. There was actually a big-time upset of a number 6 ranked team on September the 11th of 1976. Can you tell me and go back in your memory bank of who that upset of the number 6 team was?
The number 6 team was upset in 1976.
Correct. On this day.
Man, I'm like 9 months old, 10 months
okay.
old.
Okay.
but hang on, what conference? Because I'm going to, for some reason, I know Notre Dame came down to the South. I know they lost to Ole Miss 1 year, but I want to say that was 78. And Notre Dame went on to win the national championship that year. Let me think, Stephen.
Two SEC teams going at it.
All right. If it was two SEC teams back in, you said 78?
76.
Well, one of the greatest rivalries in the SEC, and we don't ever get to celebrate it anymore, was Auburn and Tennessee. That used to be a phenom of a rivalry. And we don't celebrate anymore. Matter of fact, the late Reggie White, the great Tennessee defensive end, NFL Hall of Famer, probably the best defensive player that ever played in the NFL ever. He talked about he got up more for the Auburn game than any other game on the schedule.
Yeah.
Is it Auburn and Tennessee by any chance?
No.
Is it one of the other?
No.
All right, because there's only 10 teams back then. So go on and hit me. I won't go through the other 8.
September the 11th of 1976 in Jackson, Mississippi, Ole Miss defeated number 6 Alabama 10-7, and it broke Alabama's 20-game SEC win streak with Coach Paul Bear Bryant, and also on that team was Hall of Fame tight end Ozzie Newsome.
Oh, yeah. The great Ozzie Newsome. In your notes, does it say anything about Ole Miss? I don't think Forcade was playing quarterback yet. I think Forcade was in the 80s. Does it say who was playing quarterback for Ole Miss?
It does not say. However, here is what is most interesting about that game. Freshman Ole Miss kicker won the game to seal the upset with 1 foot. The guy had 1 foot, and his name was Hoppy Langley.
Hobby. He had 1 foot, and they called him Hobby?
Hoppy Langley.
How have I not heard of this? Dude, I guarantee you, Hobby, we have to find out if Hobby's still with us, and if he is, we have to bring him on the show.
Hoppy Langley single-footedly ended Alabama's 20-game SEC win streak with a 34-yard field goal to upset number 6 Alabama in Jackson.
You said single-footedly.
That's what this is. I've never heard anyone
say single-footedly.
This is what this is.
He didn't have a foot. I'm sure he won a butt kicking contest too with his, you know, Hobby and his club, one club foot single handedly wins the butt kicking contest.
Yeah,
his last name was Langley.
Langley, yep.
Hobby.
No, Hoppy, like you're hopping along.
Hoppy. Oh my gosh, that's even worse. You know he can't hop. Okay, we have to find Hoppy.
Yes.
We have to find Hoppy.
Yeah.
And bring him on the show. And I want to hear this story. But, yeah, I'll say this. There were so many great games between Ole Miss and Alabama.
Oh, yeah.
Especially back in the 80s and 90s. And it looks like Ole Miss is going to win. And then here comes Bama. Boom. But, yeah, I'll never forget when Palmer, back in the early 90s with those teams, man. Jay Barker was hurt. They had to put Palmer in at quarterback. They moved the wide receiver to quarterback. I mean, how crazy does that sound today?
Yeah.
Well, that's like some small two-way high school craziness. But yeah, that's what happened. And put the deuce under center. And yeah, Palmer just did it. Always love Palmer, especially if it was a 2-point conversion. If he reversed out, that we everybody in the stands knew what play was coming, and you still couldn't stop it. He was under center. He would reverse out. He'd go to that right side. Scored every single time. Still amazes me. Still amazes me.
Heath, the final thing that I will say about that night, that 76 football team, Alabama finished that season 9-3 and a spot with a victory over UCLA in the Liberty Bowl. It was Alabama's 18th consecutive bowl game, and the most unfortunate thing for them, they lost to a team that went 5-6. So Ole Miss did not even make a bowl game, and they beat number 6, Alabama.
What's more disappointing in that story, that Ole Miss finished the season at 5-6, or Bama got beat by a one-footed kicker single-footedly?
That one.
And his name was Hoppy.
Yes.
You got beat by a kicker with 1 foot named Hoppy on a 5-6 football. Steve, that doesn't even sound real. Like, I think we need to, like, fact check this. This is insane.
Well, you know what? This actually comes from the College Football Hall of Fame. So there you go.
Let's do a Twitter poll. Who thinks Steven's been in the cooking sherry early this evening? No.
I have not. All right.
Put down the Zima, Steven.
So when we come back on the other side of this break, we are going to dive exclusively into the game that will be up on Rocky Top this weekend between Georgia and Tennessee. We will start it off talking about the Georgia Bulldogs next, and then Tennessee will be after that. That's on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Stingray Show. Anthony Dasher from GeorgiaSports.com joins us next on the Stingray Show.
Waitress, could you bring Steven a plethora of Zimas? Thank you. Thank you. Yes, plethora. Lots of Zimas. You're in luck tonight, buddy.
No, I'm good. It's college football season, and what goes well with college football? Events. And if you have an event coming up and needs catering, let Certified Chef Jamie and the Coker Market do the event for you. Here are just some of the things that Coker Market have to offer for your catering needs. Pulled pork by the pound, chicken tenders by the dozen, smoked wings by the dozen, or a half a slab of ribs, or a full slab of ribs. Contact Jamie and the Coker Market today, or better yet, go by there off of County Road 140 and let them help you take the hassle out of the catering needs for your event this upcoming football season. How would you like to live where you love in the state of Alabama? Whether it is your upsizing, downsizing, retiring at the beach, or relocating for your job, then you are going to want to contact Celeste Hagler, owner of First Class Real Estate South Home Group, with brokers in Tuscaloosa, Orange Beach, and Huntsville. They can help you with the buying, selling, and investment needs throughout the state of Alabama. You can contact Celeste at 205-861-5698. Once again, that is 205-861-5698, and schedule a consultation to discuss your real estate goals anywhere across the state of Alabama. For over 100 years, the Bank of Moundville has been a name clients can trust. The Bank of Moundville is more than just a bank. They're your neighbors, your friends, and your community partners. Their unique approach to financial education has always centered around families. They believe that financially strong homes today lay the foundation for a brighter future for tomorrow's generation. You can call them today today at 205-371-2227. Once again, that is 371-2227 to schedule an appointment to build your financial security. The Bank of Moundville is a member FDIC and an equal housing lender.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. An accident has been moved to the shoulder on McFarland westbound at University Boulevard. Slowing on Lurleen Wallace northbound from 15th Street to McFarland, it's an 8-minute drive. Slowing developing on northbound Highway 69 from McFarland to Mitlary Road, it's a 7-minute drive. Construction on Skyland Boulevard between I-359 and Buttermilk Road. With your Tuscaloosa traffic now, I'm Lisa Buck.
Your home for Alabama Crimson Tide football. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Welcome back inside the Stingray Show. We are doing a preview of the Georgia Bulldogs and the Tennessee Volunteers this evening. And Rocky Top in Tennessee will be rocking with the Georgia Bulldogs coming in there on Saturday. And to break this game down from the Georgia side of things, we are about to be joined by Anthony Dasher of UGASports.com to do a deep dive into the first few games of the season for the Georgia Bulldogs. Anthony, how are things with you over there in Athens before Georgia takes the road to go to Tennessee?
Well, Stingray, man, I'm just trying to catch up on my sleep right now, make sure I'm all rested up before making that drive up through the Smoky Mountains, to Knoxville, and it's been my 15th trip up there for this Georgia Tennessee game, so I know that area quite well. But man, it's gonna be something. It's gonna be something to see. It's gonna be fun to watch because, like we were saying before, you know, we went on the air here. I'm not sure I know a damn thing about Georgia yet. I really don't.
Well, you know, Anthony, we've had that discussion here on the show multiple times here the past 2 weeks that, you know, after week one, we don't know anything. After week two, we might can see something. But after week three, we can kind of get a feel for things. I went through the list. We're not going to do it right now. But I went through the list of all 16 teams of who possibly could be in the SEC championship game. 10 out of the 16 teams in the SEC were on the hot list. Just don't know. We don't know Jack Diddley Poo squat about any of this. We really don't.
No, not at all. That's what I'm saying. I mean, Marshall, what was replacing what? They brought in like 72 new players.
Yeah.
It was crazy. I mean, there's no way a team like that, as good as they were, they won their conference last year, no way they were going to come to Athens or really anywhere else in the SEC and pose much of a challenge. So throw that one out of the window. Austin Peay. Hey, give those guys a little bit of credit. They actually brought some decent transfers in from some FBS schools and, you know, played good. But again, Georgia just kind of meandering around offensively. Gunnar Stock has not really been asked to throw the ball downfield. That's something I know Georgia fans, you ask your average Georgia fan right now, they're scared to death that Gunnar is going to go up to Tennessee and just lay this giant egg because he hasn't thrown the ball downfield yet this year. Whereas you see what Tennessee has done, Josh Heupel's not afraid to show all what he's got. They're throwing bombs left and right and, you know, scoring all these touchdowns, where Georgia's been kind of meandering along, just kind of taking, you know, what the other team has been given. And that's got Georgia fans, I think, a little nervous for this one.
Anthony, you brought up something. I was going to save this for later, but since you brought it up, I'm going to speak about it. I was listening to another podcast. They were talking about this game, and I don't know about enough for either one, but they were mentioning that Heupel has to have that deep ball to make his offense work. You know, he runs a little bit of a version of the air raid. You know, he studied and coached and played under Mike Leach. So, you know, he knows everything about the air raid. But they were saying Joey Aguilar can't throw it deep. And that's going to be a huge problem when they face somebody and they expected Georgia to expose that this weekend. I don't know if Joey Aguilar could throw it 7 yards or 70 yards. I've watched highlights. But with that being said, what can you tell us about the Georgia defense after two games, if anything, that we can expect out of them? Are they consistent? Is the secondary good?
Yeah.
Are they making the backers cover a lot? Is it a lot of pressure on the quarterback? What are we seeing out of this Georgia defense?
Well, once again, so far you're not seeing a whole lot because, you know, Georgia was just able to basically just play its base defense these first two games and just, you know, I hate to say roll their hats out on the field. That's basically what they did. I know defensively coming to the year is a lot of questions. Georgia did not do a very good job stopping the run last year. We saw it obviously in the Alabama game where Jalen Milroe had a field day. You know, Georgia was replacing, what, four guys who went on to them are playing in the NFL right now. I mean, how is Georgia going to replace those players? But so far, you know, they seem to be doing a decent job. They do have a freshman I really, really like. Elijah Griffin is a former five-star. Everybody in the country wanted this kid. And he stepped in and he's had a big impression on me. But the biggest thing I think that Georgia does have going for this linebacking core, I think maybe one of the best in the conference. They're four deep on the inside backers right now. And the defensive front is doing enough where they're keeping the offensive line out of the second level and letting those linebackers fly around and make plays. So they're doing a better job stopping the run. And Tennessee doesn't give enough credit, I don't think, for being a good running team. They were last year. And really, you know, people think of Josh Hoppe, he mentioned the air raid, but they're actually one of the better running teams. They were last year and one of the better running teams in the SEC.
They were the best, yeah.
They were the best, exactly. So that's something that people, I don't think, really clicks for a lot of folks when they think of Tennessee in this offense. So when it comes to stopping Tennessee, I think it really starts there, just stopping the run and then, you know, see what Aguilar can do from there. But George has a good secondary. I mean, K.J. Bold is only a sophomore, but he's, I think, one of the best safeties in the conference right now. Dalen Everett is back as an all-SEC player. They've got experience. So I think it's defensively Georgia has a chance to do well against Tennessee. We'll see. But, again, for Georgia to talk about question marks, I think it's mostly on the offensive side.
All right. So, Anthony, I do want to ask you about something else other than on the field.
Sure.
Because the Georgia faithful have this love-hate relationship with their offensive coordinator, Bobo.
Yeah.
Talk about that, please. Because one drive, they're like, this is awesome, great play calling. And then the next drive is like, what are you doing, Bobo? What was that? That was awful. Talk about that relationship.
Well, there's an old saying on our message board, run the damn ball, Bobo. I mean, because, again, it's really crazy. It really is. Mike is, you know, cause for people who don't know, Mike's a former Georgia quarterback. He's been at UGA for years. Of course, he had an offensive coordinator gig at Auburn and at South Carolina, but he's a Georgia guy, you know, through and through. But Georgia fans have just never warmed to the guy. I mean, it's to me, it's kind of a funny thing to look at. And you combine that with Stacey Searle's offensive line coach, who they would just assume be on some, you know, late train to Tug Buckle, Kentucky, whatever, instead of being in Athens, Georgia right now. It's just weird. I mean, granted, you know, Bobo people think he's too conservative. He won't throw the ball enough. I mean, he's doing what Kirby Smart wants him to do, basically. So I don't know if I would put the entire blame on Mike Bobo because he's following Kirby Smart's order as far as what he's doing on the field as the coordinator.
Anthony, you're talking about the run game and everything. Bobo run the ball. Last year, as a team, Georgia ranked dead last in the SEC and rushing.
Yep.
And that shocked me because you have so much great talent in the backfield. Was that play calling? Was that, hey, offense has got it clicking? What happened last year, and what's different so far two games into the season with the run game?
Well, going back to last year, just real quick, again, this is not an excuse whatsoever, but there were like three games last year that Georgia fell behind early. The Alabama game was one I mentioned earlier. The Ole Miss game was another one. They fell behind so quickly, and they pretty much had to abandon the run and just go all past. So that's like two or three games you got to take into account right there. But the offensive line, and they had some issues last year, were not consistent, were banged up. And, you know, Trevor Etienne, you know, seemed like he missed half the season with injuries, were never really able to get going like they hoped he would. Nate Frazier was a true freshman last year. You know, had his moments, but again, true freshman, it's kind of hard to come into this league immediately and do what you want to run back in this conference needs to do. So I think it's probably a combination of that. This year, I think they're a little bit deeper. Nate being a sophomore, I think has been able to have a lot more success. The offensive line, I think, has been more consistent, although they do have some injuries still right now. A couple of guys are questionable. The entire right side of their offensive line is questionable for this game in Knoxville coming up. They do have some depth, though. Dwight Phillips, his nickname is Peanut. His guy I haven't really heard a lot about yet, but he's one of these guys. You can use him in a lot of different ways. Very explosive. Use him a lot on gadget plays, and someone I would kind of look for in this ball game to really pick it up. But they've done a much better job, you know, so far these two games, running the football. But again, I hate to keep going back to the competition. I mean, it's going to be different running against Tennessee or anybody in SEC for that matter, as it, you know, was against Marshall or Austin Peay. So again, that's something we have to wait and see on Saturday how that kind of unfolds.
So Anthony, we're up against another break, and when we come back, we are going to dive exclusively into the matchup on Saturday between Georgia and Tennessee. That's on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Stingray Show. We will be right back after.
Your flagship home of Alabama sports. We are a championship school, and school is in session.
Makes a catch, makes them bang into each other, stays on his feet, breaks a tackle, scores, scores, scores!
Join us Saturday as the Crimson Tide hit the turf to face the Wisconsin Badgers. Our coverage begins at 8 a.m. on your home for Alabama football. Presented by Pearl River Resort, DCH Regional Medical Center, Two Dimes Tuscaloosa, and Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bill Ferguson of South's Finest Meats, the official sponsor of the Stingray Show, has a message for you.
Everything we do here is fresh and custom made, custom to order. You know, I tell people when they come in, you know, if you don't see what you like, ask somebody. You know, we've got the capability to process it, make it. You know, if you want a different blend of hamburger meat, we'll do your brisket blend. We'll do your chuck blend. We'll do your sirloin blend. You know, we do all that right here. We are a butcher shop. It's what we do. So please don't be afraid to ask if you don't see what you like. We can make you any size patty you want. We can make you any amount you want. You know, people come and say, well, how many patties come in the box? Ma'am, how many would you like in a box? You know, you want 12, we'll put 12. You want 25, we'll put 25.
That's just one of the many things that South's Finest Meats has to offer, the official butcher shop of the Stingray Show. With all of the recent tornado damage and storm activity here in West Alabama, Alpha Insurance and hometown agent Jeff Nee can help you personalize your insurance needs. Remember, the more you protect, the more you save. With a helpful customer service team here to serve you in Alabama and over in Mississippi, you can count on Alpha to provide an insurance plan that provides the protection you need, the convenience you expect, and the service that you deserve. For all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs, call Alpha agent Jeff Nee at 205-758-2577. Once again, 758-2577, or drop by their office on McFarland Boulevard East, Suite 101 in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And remember, Alpha agent Jeff Nee, the more you protect, the more you save.
Did you need to know what's going on with the Crimson Tide? Then subscribe to our YouTube channel for exclusive content on your home for Alabama sports, Tide 100.9, and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
It's college football season, and what goes well with college football? Events. And if you have an event coming up and needs catering, let Certified Chef Jamie and the Coker Market do the event for you. Here are just some of the things that Coker Market have to offer for your catering needs. Pulled pork by the pound, chicken tenders by the dozen, smoked wings by the dozen, or a half a slab of ribs or a full slab of ribs. Contact Jamie and the Coker Market today, or better yet, go by there off of County Road 140 and let them help you take the hassle out of the catering needs for your event this upcoming football season. Welcome back, and inside the Georgia and Tennessee preview show right here on the Stingray Show. Our first guest of the evening is Anthony Dasher from UGASports.com. And Anthony, before the break, we were talking about the Georgia Bulldogs and the issues of running the ball last year, and then, of course, the issues with the fans and Mike Bobo. But when you look at this Georgia team for the first 2 weeks of the season, give us a little bit of what concerns you going into this Tennessee matchup.
What concerns me? Several things. Probably going to start on the line of scrimmage, the offensive front for Georgia. The biggest thing that concerns me after watching his first two games is Georgia's offensive front did not dominate these first two ball games. Now, they ran the ball well, but you would expect an SEC offensive line to go out and just blow the other team off the line of scrimmage, especially someone like Austin Peay. That did not happen. Austin Peay defensive front was able to cause some problems. They were able to create some pressure on Gunnar Stockton, you know, there in the second quarter that, quite frankly, it kind of surprised me a little bit. I mean, if they're going to be struggling against Austin Peay's, you know, defensive front, what's going to happen, you know, on Saturday? What's going to happen in 3 weeks when Alabama comes to Sanford State? That's a huge question for me right now. It's how that offensive front is going to be doing moving forward. Because, again, if they don't establish a running game or if they have issues like they did last season, that's going to cause a lot of problems for Gunnar Stockton. They're going to just make no bones, you know, about that. Other question, I mentioned Gunnar going downfield. Again, a lot of that, I think, was by design and why he hasn't done it so far. I mean,
right.
You've seen the cornerbacks for Marshall and Austin Peay, you know, play like 5, 6, 7, 8 yards off the line of scrimmage. And Georgia, were, again, were just basically taking what they were being given. I mean, guys would just run 5 yards up, turn around, catch a ball, fall forward for another yard or two. And that was, was pretty much an extension of Georgia's running game, you know, this past week. I think they can go deep. I think they've got receivers to do it. But again, I want to see that a little bit. I want to see them be more aggressive, use the middle of the field, which is something they had success against Tennessee in the past, especially with the tight ends. So that would probably be the two biggest areas for me right now as far as this ball game here is concerned. But again, it's just like any other contest too. They can't turn the ball over. And, you know, I know it's boring to say all that kind of stuff because people say that every single week. But just see how they're going to respond to this. I mean, Kirby is a coach who typically loves it when he's an underdog. Now, I know they're not basically an underdog in this game. I think they're still favored by 3.5 points. But I think you look at some of the picks coming in right now, a lot of people are kind of jumping on Tennessee. I'm sure Kirby just eats that up. He wants more people picking against Georgia than is feels the need to do so, because he definitely uses that kind of thing as motivation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, looking at the schedule for Georgia, I noticed that they've got an off week next week.
Mm-hmm.
Your thoughts on that as far as the mental state of the players? Because I always like an off week following a big game, mm-hmm. because win or lose, you got time to get over it, but there's not that big opponent waiting on you. You know, you're not looking ahead. No matter what, you're like, man, we got a week off after this.
Yeah.
With that, can you speak on the mindset? Have the coaches or the players mentioned anything about the off week? And I was a little shocked to see the off week so early for Georgia. Yeah. Your thoughts of you thinking the off week is a little too early this year?
Well, it depends on if Georgia wins or loses this ball game, to be honest with you. I mean, if you lose this ball game, you want to get back out there as quick as possible and play again to get that bad taste out of your mouth. Now, if you win a game, you want to know the SEC, you've got, you know, arguably your biggest game of the season coming up that following week against Alabama, you probably want a week in it, or, you know, would enjoy having an extra, you know, 7 days to get ready for the Tide, you know, coming to Athens. So I don't know. I think you have to wait and see on this one. It's going to depend off Georgia wins or loses. But, you know, I with every team in the league now getting, you know, two byes, I think, you know, most teams are getting one early on, you know, this year. So it's something all schools were kind of getting adjusted to.
All right, where do you feel like that Georgia can take advantage of Tennessee this weekend?
That is a very good question. Just what I've seen on Tennessee defensively and what Georgia has done in the past, and although Georgia has not done this much this year, I mentioned going over the middle to the tight ends. Last year, they were very effective doing that. And with Tennessee having the same defensive coordinator, while I'm sure they're quite aware of what happened last year, I do think you'll see Georgia have some success in the middle. Georgia has a great tight end crew, and they've got some wide receivers that have not really stepped up yet, so to speak. Noah Thomas, who played at A&M, was their leading receiver. Zach Branch from Southern Cal is just a dynamic player at the slot position, and he's somebody I can see having a big game. So I think, again, getting the ball in the middle to the field to the tight end is probably something I think they can take advantage of Tennessee, because they've hurt them in the past with that before.
Anthony, looking at this game, if it's a blowout, I think it's Georgia blowing out Tennessee. I'm not expecting a blowout, but I do expect Georgia to win this game by a couple of scores. Mm-hmm. With that being said, what am I missing? Am I missing anything? I mean, I know Tennessee's good. I know Tennessee can run the ball, but I just see Georgia so athletic on the defensive side of the ball. And I'm just going by what I'm hearing. Aguilar has a problem with the deep ball and taking the top off. What am I missing with this Georgia-Tennessee matchup? Is there anything that concerns you what Tennessee does?
Yeah, Tennessee had success running the ball against Georgia last year. I mean, is Georgia really that much better with its run defense? I think that's a question that we still need to be answered. But I think a lot of it has to do with just the fact, again, you're going to Tennessee, you're going to Neyland Stadium, over 100,000 people here in Rocky Top, time after time after time after time. That's going to be a drain into your head there, pretty good. But I don't know. I think it's because Georgia, again, is really a young team overall. They've got 54 players who are either, freshmen, redshirt freshmen, or newcomers, or transfers. They had 10 transfers come in. So this is a very young team by Kirby Smart standards. And I think that's probably one of the biggest reasons of people looking at this game and say Tennessee has, and I do think they have kind of closed the gap a little bit, with this overall talent. They've had some good recruiting classes over the last couple of years. But I think just the fact that Tennessee has looked so good offensively, whereas Georgia's kind of scuffled a little bit offensively, people are kind of looking at that and trying to balance things out, thinking Tennessee has a better shot than they should have had in recent seasons.
How do you see it playing out Saturday in Knoxville, Georgia or Tennessee? Who are you rolling with?
I'm still going to roll with Georgia, but I think it's going to be a close game. It's kind of funny. I was talking to trading some messages with Jim Donnan today, former Georgia coach, and he's like, Georgia's going to roll in this one. And, okay, coach, you know a lot more about football than I do, certainly, but I don't know. It's just what I saw last week, it just gives me a little bit of pause. I mean, Georgia has to do so many things better than what we saw last week that can they do it on the road? A lot of these guys playing their first SEC road game. As y'all know, that's a difficult, tough thing to do. And so that's probably maybe hedging a little bit, but I do think overall Georgia, again, will win the game. I think it'll be a 3 or 4 points. I don't think it'll be a rout by any stretch. But, I've certainly been wrong before on my picks. I mean, people on our board like to, when they see me pick a big score, they like to, they get all excited. Dash may know what he's talking about. Half the time I don't. I picked Georgia. Well, the line last week was 48 points. And I said, oh, yeah, Georgia will cover that easy. And see what happened there. So my picks aren't always the ball.
Anthony, look, man, thank you for taking time to join us. Go and enjoy covering Rocky Top and Go Dawgs of Tennessee and Georgia, and we would love to catch up with you later on down the road.
Hey, we'll do it. This was fun.
All right.
Thank you, Anthony. Take care, brother.
Yep, see y'all.
Anthony Dasher right there from the UGASports.com. You got to love him, man.
Yeah, Anthony's a good guy, good dude. And, stop me if you heard this one before, Stephen. Georgia fans are a little too passionate / crazy.
Yes.
So, and Anthony gets to deal with it every day. But, yeah, this game, Stephen, I just don't see it being close. I don't see it being like a super blowout. But I think it's one of those things where Georgia kind of gets a two-score lead, and they just kind of keep us a two-score lead all day. They might get up by 17, and the next possession they're up by 10.
I disagree with that. I'm actually going Tennessee in the upset.
Well, there you go.
I actually think Tennessee has had more proof than Georgia has, and like he just talked about, Georgia did not impress me against Austin Peay, and that is a division school below Georgia, an FCS program. Yeah, because of that, I think I'm going to roll with Tennessee here.
Wow, okay. Interesting.
When we come back on the other side of this break, we are going to throw it to the Tennessee side as we're going to be joined by Ryan Silva of Rocky Top Insider to do a deep dive into the Tennessee side of this matchup. That's on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Stingray Show. We will be right back.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Friday edition of The Game, we will be less than 24 hours away from Alabama, Wisconsin. We're going to get you ready for that big game as we'll talk to Josh from College Football Nerds. We'll talk to Brent Beard. We'll talk to Lee Sterling. And we're going to do an SEC Parlay Pick Day presented by Bryant Hart Construction right here starting at 2 p.m. on The Game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest running sports program in Tuscaloosa, The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Has it always been your dream to build the pond of your dreams, but you don't know if property you own or thinking about buying has a good location to build a pond on? You need to contact Honey Hole Fisheries right here in Tuscaloosa County, because Jeff Bagwell will help you decide if property you own or are thinking about buying has a good location to build a pond. You can contact Honey Hole Fisheries at 205-799-0192. Once again, that is 799-0192. And hey, Jeff Bagwell can also order top quality automatic fish and hunting feeders for all of your outdoor recreation. Contact Jeff Bagwell today, once again at 205-799-0192, to help you build the pond or lake of your dreams. With all of the recent tornado damage and storm activity here in West Alabama, Alpha Insurance and hometown agent Jeff Nee can help you personalize your insurance needs. Remember, the more you protect, the more you save. With a helpful customer service team here to serve you in Alabama and over in Mississippi, you can count on Alpha to provide an insurance plan that provides the protection you need, the convenience you expect, and the service that you deserve. For all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs, call Alpha agent Jeff Nee at 205-758-2577. Once again, 758-2577. Or drop by their office on McFarland Boulevard East, Suite 101 in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And remember, Alpha agent Jeff Nee, the more you protect, the more you save.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Still some slowing north on Highway 69 from Old Greensboro Road to Skyland Boulevard. It's an 8-minute drive. West on McFarland from Jack Warner Parkway to Coker, it's a 13-minute drive. Crews are doing work on McWrights Ferry Road. It's being extended down to Rice Mine Road. Also, construction on Old Birmingham Highway between 55th Avenue and Kennedy Mill Road. With your Tuscaloosa traffic now, I'm Lisa Bakke.
I've all
like it.
For more from Tide 100.9,
let's it fly! And there it.
Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and SoundCloud.
Hey, Tide fans, looking for something wild right here in Tuscaloosa? Bring the kids, bring your friends, and come to Bama Reptiles and Ranch in Northport. Just minutes from campus, they've got Asian water lizards, tortoises, colorful snakes, and for the horse lovers out there, ranch supplies. They are the cleanest and healthiest reptile store in the state. And their feeders? Best you'll find anywhere. If you mention this Stingray Sports ad, you will get 10% off of your feeders. Remember, Bama Reptiles and Ranch, where exotic meets extraordinary. Welcome back inside the Stingray Show. Hope all is well with you. We are doing the Georgia and Tennessee preview show, and I've got to ask you right now, as we are about to be joined by Ryan Silva of RockyTopInsider.com, and Ryan, I've got to ask you, do you wish you were back up on old Rocky Top, Nico? Because Nico is sitting there 0-2, and his replacement, Joey Aguilar, is now 2-0 with Georgia coming to town.
Yeah, I mean, so far so good for Tennessee and that kind of trade that they did over with UCLA and Nico. I don't think there's any denying that Nico is a very talented quarterback. It just hasn't clicked at the college level so far. Certainly not helpful that he doesn't have a great team around him over at UCLA. It definitely doesn't feel like this is going to be a maybe even a bowl team right now. Probably sitting around 4 or 5 wins, which is tough for him. You have to feel bad to some degree for Nico that he's in this situation. I mean, is it, you know, his fault that he's in this situation? Yeah, but it's still, you know, unfortunate for him, I guess. But as far as Tennessee, I mean, Joey Aguilar has looked good through 2 games. It's not against anyone that's, you know, caused too much of a threat. Even Syracuse, who was pretty good a year ago, they're just a completely retooled roster this year. They've lost so much talent. And that defense you saw it against UConn last Saturday as well. They just don't look like they're on par with what Tennessee will see throughout SEC play. So there's still plenty for Joey Aguilar to prove, and I think we'll learn a lot about him this weekend when they play Georgia. But so far, so good. I don't think you could ask for much better through really just 1.5 games since he didn't play in the second half against ETSU.
All right. So go ahead briefly and talk about the first 2 games for the Tennessee Volunteers. That, of course, is the Syracuse game that you mentioned and then East Tennessee last weekend.
I think we got the best view on this team so far was that initial game against Syracuse. And I fully expected Tennessee to go out there and not try to do too much on offense. I thought it would be a game where they just sit back and rely on their defense, which was so good a year ago and looks pretty solid this year as well. And they just sit there and win a low-scoring game and not really put the ball in harm's way too much. Not that the ball was in harm's way. Joey Aguilar made good decisions, but they threw the ball a lot more than I thought. They hit a 73-yard touchdown. The first drive, they took a deep shot and got DPI. So they clearly showed some confidence in the offense and ended up being a lot higher a scoring affair than I thought. And Syracuse was able to drive on Tennessee's defense a few times. And then ETSU looked like it should against an in-state FCS opponent where Tennessee scores the most points it's ever scored in the modern era, which goes back to the 1930s. So it's been almost 100 years of the quote-unquote modern era, and Tennessee's never produced more points on the offensive side of the ball than they did against ETSU. So, you know, same as the Joey Aguilar, I guess, analysis so far. So far, so good on the offensive end. I don't think you could ask for much more against Syracuse or against ETSU. There's some question marks on defense, a lot of that due to both of their starting cornerbacks are out right now, Jamad McCoy with an offseason injury, and then Ricky Gibson got hurt very early in that Syracuse game. So they've been playing down the depth chart at corner. They've been playing down the depth chart a little bit as far as defensive tackle on the interior of the line. So what are those spots going to look like against Georgia is also a question. It's the same situation as Georgia, right? Georgia's played 2 nobodies. They played Marshall and Austin Peay. What exactly is that team going to look like? I think we'll learn a lot this Saturday, and that goes for both sides of the ball. Tennessee's a little more tested, but even then, Syracuse just does not look that great so far, so it's tough to fully tell.
When you go into this matchup with Georgia, talk about the hype and the expectation of the Tennessee fan base with Georgia coming in. And just like you mentioned, you really don't know what to expect from this Georgia football team. Talk about the expectations and the hype with the Tennessee faithful.
The fan base is definitely fired up. If you're watching the video and you're looking at the background that Stingray's got right now, it'll look a little bit like that on Saturday. Checker Neyland going into effect. They got College Game Day on campus. The fans will do their part, and that's never been a question at Tennessee. You look at the playoff game last year at Ohio State. I don't think anyone's blaming the fan base for that one. They showed up in droves to Columbus. They really did pack that. Like, you looked around pregame, you were like, I mean, everyone was talking about all week, but my God, there is a lot of orange in Columbus, Ohio right now. Tennessee fans always show up. Even when the team's not great, they show up. Now that they're really good, it's just taking it to a whole nother level. So I fully expect, you know, one of the better college football atmospheres that you can find anywhere. It could go down as one of the better atmospheres you'll see across the country in the history of the sport if it's a good game in the fourth quarter and Tennessee needs a stop late in the game or something like that. It'll be deafening in that place. So the fans are embracing it. I think there's, you know, some cautious optimism there for Tennessee fans right now where you're like, all right, it is Georgia, and Tennessee's had not a lot of success against Georgia recently, but there's some question marks over for the Bulldogs. I think a lot of that starts with Gunnar Stockton. What exactly are you getting from him at the quarterback position? The offensive line for Georgia hasn't looked great either. They've really struggled to, you know, create explosive plays down the field. The way they've moved their offense against both Marshall and Austin Peay have been a lot of runs and short passes in the RPO game. So what is that going to look like against the Tennessee defense that should be pretty good again this year? I think those questions are starting to get Tennessee fans a little riled up right now and ready to at least make as big an impact as you can, which could be somewhat substantial considering Gunnar Stockton's never had to play in a game of this magnitude on the road.
Okay, you just mentioned the defense trying to get a stop. You guys are going to be without two cornerbacks for this game. Talk about how big of an impact that's going to be for that Tennessee defense, please.
There was certainly a feeling going at least into fall camp where it was like, this timeline's a little accelerated for Jermod McCoy to come back from an ACL injury that he suffered in January. So what they did is they went out in the spring portal and they brought in Colton Hood out of Colorado, someone that was primarily a backup behind their two cornerbacks, including obviously Travis Hunter a year ago. But he did, you know, due to injury, get a couple starts, and he was a part of the rotation on that side of the ball as well and looked pretty good. He was also at Auburn for his true freshman year before that. And through two games, he looks fantastic for Tennessee. So that was, I think, the best case scenario for them was wait for Jermod McCoy, see when he can get back healthy, but there's no need to rush it because he brought in Colton Hood, who they really like. Well, just, I mean, a couple drives into that Syracuse game, Ricky Gibson goes down with injury. And it's the quote Josh Heupel gave going into the ETSU game was, he'll be out an extended period, which definitely doesn't make you feel too optimistic about what his availability will be. I'm as we record this, the official availability report hasn't come out. It's hard to imagine he's not just going to be listed as straight up out on that. Like, I don't think anyone anticipates him to play in this game. So Colton Hood on one side, you feel good about. The other side, you have a true freshman in Ty Redmond. Now, Ty Redmond was phenomenal in his first ever college game coming in for Ricky Gibson against Syracuse. He looked really good again against ETSU. But as we talked about, both of those teams haven't looked great so far. So is that more of a product of playing not the best competition, or is Ty Redmond truly ready to step up as a true freshman and play high-level college football? So far, I think I lean towards that he's just ready to go and he looks really good, but Georgia is just such a different beast. Have they struggled on offense so far? Sure, but you know Kirby Smart's looking over at that cornerback spot and saying, that's a true freshman. He's never had to play in a game like this. How can you take advantage of that? And I'm curious to see how Ty Redmond and whoever else they decide, maybe Jalen McMurray, who's played a lot of nickelback but played cornerback last year, maybe he slides back out to corner, maybe he goes to some other options. There's different solutions you can go to, but that one cornerback spot, you know Kirby Smart's kind of circling that position right now and thinking of ways to try to take advantage.
We've talked about the ins and outs. Ryan, how do you see it? Tennessee and Georgia, they are in Rocky Top. Is Rocky Top going to be electric after this game, or is it going to be another letdown for Tennessee against Georgia?
I lean Georgia still. I think there's it's not even an outside chance Tennessee wins this game. I think there's a reasonable chance Tennessee could win this game, especially because it's at home and because Georgia's so untested, I guess, at this point with so many new pieces. But I'll still lean Georgia. It's kind of a you have to see it to believe it right now. With Tennessee and Georgia, they've just been so dominant against Tennessee. They've seemed to have the solution against Tennessee's offense. Now, last year in 23, I mean, it's not the same dynamic offense that Tennessee's had, but 2022, when Tennessee went to Athens, there was somewhat of an expectation of, especially after Tennessee beat Alabama 52-49, like, all right, well, how is Georgia going to stop this offense? There wasn't much of an issue there. Tennessee's only scored, I think, as high as 17 points since Josh Heupel got to UT against Georgia. I would expect them to break that mark and maybe push towards 20. But even then, I don't know how confident you are with that. So I expect it to be kind of a low scoring affair. I don't think Georgia is going to go and put up a bunch of points. I don't necessarily think Tennessee is going to do that. I think it'll be Georgia probably between 4 to 7 point win with a Georgia, let's say like 28-24, 28-20, something around there where close game in the fourth quarter, somewhat lower scoring affair, but Georgia holding on to win. With that said, it's still, you can't get too upset if Tennessee does lose this game and you're a Tennessee fan. There's a lot of season left, and with how bad Alabama looked in week one, with how bad Florida looked in week two, there's still everything you want in front of you, even if you lose this game. Like, there's still a path to the playoffs and not an unreasonable one, even if they do drop this one.
Look, man, this has been an absolute blast going inside the Tennessee Volunteers. Thank you for taking time to join us, and we would love to catch up with you later on to continue our talks of the Tennessee Volunteers.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me on, man.
All right, and I will leave you with this, buddy. Rocky Top, let's go. So that is going to put a wrap on the Georgia and Tennessee preview show. The Stingray Show has one show left this week, and tomorrow evening, which is Friday, we are going to be talking about the matchup that is in South Bend between Notre Dame and Texas A&M. Olin Buchanan, TexAgs Radio, will join us from South Bend, and Adam Rittenberg will join us from ESPN to talk about this game from the Notre Dame side. We will catch you tomorrow evening right back here on the Stingray Show at 6 p.m. Catch you.